Hey, before your Q3 call, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Great. Did you include the differentiation angle the CMO asked for?
Already in there. Three angles no competitor's using right now. Just need your approval.
Approved. Thanks. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. 3 hours of conservative conversation coming your way. By the way, write down our telephone number. You're going to need this if you plan on calling in today. 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And by the way, you know, we have several stations around the country, and they actually carry us on delay. So if you call in during those hours, well, there's no one here to answer your calls. So we have a workaround. When you download our free app at toddstearns.com, you can actually leave us a shout out. And so your comment is then sent directly to us, and we can play that on the air the following day. So for those of you, I think in Wichita, Kansas, they carry us a little bit later in the afternoon. You'll be able to do that by simply going to toddstearns.com. All right. It's primary day. And of course, a lot of attention being focused on the great state of Florida, where President Trump's agenda is on the ballot in the Republican primary. Byron Donalds expected to do pretty well there. Also a big debate, and we're going to get into this with Adam Morgan in South Carolina, between Darlene Graham and our good buddy Congressman Ralph Norman. By the way, this is interesting. Darlene Graham is now going by Graham as her last name. So she's been married, I think, twice. And so she has now gone back to her maiden name for the purposes of the Senate race there in the great state of South Carolina. That's a little weird, right? It just seems weird to me. So anywho's, we'll be following all of that for you. Also, Kristen Hawkins from Students for Life. A bunch of pro-lifers got kicked out of a coffee house. They were gathering, and they all bought coffee, and they were sitting around talking about pro-life issues, and they got kicked out. So we're going to talk to Kristen Hawkins in just a little while as well. But I want to start today with a weird, weird story. It comes out of Penn State, and I just have to tell you, I am genuinely shocked by this report. But apparently, a bunch of fraternity brothers were running a cocaine ring out of the frat house. Now, Dylan, you went to University of Memphis. Did you guys have the fraternities and the sororities there?
We had a few, but we did have some that were canceled.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did.
So they were
not
doing
for
what?
Cocaine, though. Like, it was like drinking.
They were doing what? Naughty things?
Like, slightly naughty.
Okay.
I wouldn't go, definitely not like the crazy stuff that has been out there. Like, no swallowing of fish, no, like, you know, ditching you at a beach in the dark. Like, there's nothing like that.
They didn't tie you, you know, buck naked to a tree in the middle of the quad with duct tape.
Not that I know of.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm not saying anything from personal knowledge.
Right. It did sound asking. Very specific.
Yeah. I went to a Christian school. We had clubs.
Yeah.
With Greek alphabet letters, but they wouldn't let us call them fraternities.
Yeah. You had group hangouts.
That's right. It's like people were chugging Kool-Aid. Actually, we had, for our hazing, we had, so you'd have to eat a package of Chips Ahoy. Have you ever had a Chips Ahoy?
Oh, yeah.
Those things are good, but they're painful. You know, if your throat is dry or something, because sure. They're very dry cookies.
You have to pair it with a milk.
Well, this is where the hazing comes in. So you have to eat a packet, a whole sleeve of the Chips Ahoy cookies. Then you would have to drink a gallon of whole milk. And, of course, you know that's impossible, right?
Yeah.
Your body can only consume. So at some point, all of the cookies come back up.
Yeah.
That was the hazing we had to do.
That is terrible. That's like waterboarding with milk.
I am.
Milkboarding.
I do wonder, though, what are some of the craziest hazing rituals, you know, you had to do in college, right?
Yeah.
Because there's some crazy stuff out there.
I know. I didn't go to one of these SEC college. I bet you that's where they're at. And I guess Penn State's going to be added to this list here. But, like, the SEC, like Alabama, Ole Miss, they probably have some crazy, crazy stories.
So, and because this weekend it's rush week. So yep. All of the fraternities and sororities, and it is a huge deal. Like the University of Alabama. Have you seen some of the videos?
Yes, unfortunately. Yeah.
So it's funny because Megan Basham is, and this sort of all ties in together. But Megan Basham really got upset. She's like a Christian leader, a conservative lady. And she's really upset because some of the sorority girls are dancing like they're, what's the word I'm looking for here in their promotional videos? They're dancing like they're strippers or, using the modern vernacular, hoes. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's what she's all upset about, right? And they are, I will say, scantily clad, but they are wearing clothes. And some could argue that it's very clever choreography, I guess. I don't see the young men at, like, the University of Alabama complaining about all of this. But maybe I'm just... So anyway, Megan Basham, here's what she wrote. She said, I say this... these are the... this was ASU. Is this Arizona State University?
Oh, yeah. Big frats over there.
Oh, Alpha Phi. So one of the Trump girls, and this is, it's like a divide in Trump world. So one of the Trump girls said, if this sorority rush video of hot ASU Alpha Phi gals offends you, you're either gay or a fat S smelling liberal with pink hair. To which Megan Basham replied, I say this as someone who voted for Trump. Genius MAGA simps. The original video was not sent to the YMCA. No one was signaling Trump support here. Now can you admit they look like strippers? Well, it is a vibe, I guess. But anyway, Megan goes on to say, I am neither a gay man nor I have ever been a liberal. And both of my daughters are dancers. And if either one of them ever posted a video like this, I would be mortified. And we'd be having a serious conversation about whether I would continue paying for their college education. I'm not going to pay for my daughters to make videos of themselves doing choreography that would be at home in a strip club. And that's fair enough. So anyway, there's controversy among the women of MAGA world over whether or not 18-year-old girls should be, you know, behaving like strippers. Maybe it's a fair conversation to have. However, I will say this. I've been to these high school basketball games. I've been to high school football games. And Dylan, what I saw along the sidelines, no different than what's in this video.
Yeah, they're not wearing more clothes in high school, unfortunately.
No, the girls are in the college video are wearing more clothes than the girls in high school.
Yeah.
And I will say that, you know, and I have seen this, and I'm just sitting there like, these parents are cheering. Oh, look at Sally. She's so beautiful, simulating oral sex right in the middle of the gym. Go, Sally. Woohoo. And you're like, Are you hearing yourself here? What is going on? And the funny thing is, all these people will be in church on Sunday.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a bit ironic.
This is why we don't have dancing in the Baptist church.
Oh no, yeah, hands in pockets, please.
I'm just saying. So are we that surprised? All that to say, now that the sorority girls are behaving like strippers, are we really all that surprised that the frat boys are selling cocaine? This story out of Penn State University is insane, where 14 young men, college kids, are now facing charges in connection with an alleged cocaine trafficking. They were trafficking cocaine at Penn State University. So the attorney general announcing that the students, they were all students. It happened between 2023 and 2024. The 14th defendant is the father of one of the students who is accused of hiding drugs and cash in a safe. Authorities say at least four of the individuals charged are students currently. Investigators allege the senior fraternity members, Agostino Abatelio, you know he's with the mob, right? That's a mob name. And Thomas Robinson were the leaders of the operation. They supplied the cocaine, while others cut and packaged the drugs primarily at the Delta Upsilon, and Sigma Chi fraternity houses. They apparently used pledges to cut the cocaine. It was part of the hazing ritual. The two men charged with making regular trips to Philadelphia and New York for large quantities of coke. The attorney general said this was a coordinated and highly profitable drug trafficking crew revolving around two senior members of the fraternities, other fraternity brothers, and pledges. The attorney general said, in fact, according to the evidence uncovered, cutting and packaging cocaine was, for some pledges, an indoctrination into the fraternities. Wow, this is crazy. I can't even imagine what's going on inside those fraternity houses. I don't get it. The father, Paul Robinson, charged with tampering with evidence and hindering the investigation. I mean, I know college is expensive these days, but I don't know. So there you go. We understand the university says they're horrified. Really? Really? You didn't? You really thought it was powdered donuts, did you? Mr. University Professor, I'm wondering how many faculty were dropping by the frat house. That's what I want to know. Where's Parker? You know, Parker is...
he is in a fraternity.
Parker's in a fraternity. We need to get Parker in here. Questions. I have questions about this.
Number one.
But in all honesty, I mean, this is insane. Parker, get in here. I have questions. First of all... we're going to give you this cup, and in the break, we need you to, we got to do some testing here. We've got to do some drug testing. Parker, is this true? Are you shocked here to find out this fraternity is doing drugs?
It's crazy. I think as Dylan mentioned, like, it's something that you see more like a Big Ten SEC school than like a Sanford where I'm at.
Oh, so you guys are, but y'all are a good Baptist school.
Yes, like, so my fraternity does not haze.
Allegedly.
And it's not something like we tell people, like, obviously, like, you'll hear fraternities all over the country say, like, yeah, we don't haze, but like, we actually do not haze, and that's comforting.
Is that true, though?
It is.
I mean, do you call it something else other than hazing, like fellowship?
No.
Prayer time.
You know, we can't actually ask Parker these questions. He cannot legally say that if they haze or not.
Really?
It's true.
So even if you haze, you couldn't say that you haze.
Yes. Even like a hazing fraternity would tell you the same answer I'm giving
so
you.
So it's possible they're hazing Mandela.
Yeah, there's a lot of Bible study happening at Sanford. I'm just kidding.
Really? There are some that haze at Sanford, but mine does not.
Wow. So what would the hazing involve, like a Christian? You heard what we did, you know, back in the day with the milk and the Chips Ahoy, which, by the way, after a gallon of milk, those chips were going Ahoy.
Yeah, I could not imagine doing anything like that. I've seen some interesting ones, but some of the ones at Sanford just aren't as, like, harmful.
Booze.
Like, there's one where they make all the freshmen do a car wash, and so they do it out in the, like, down on sorority row.
A car wash?
But, like, with their shirts off, like, they're using their bodies as the sponges,
I guess.
And so they do all that in front of the sorority houses for a couple hours.
Oh, I see. You guys make good money doing that at Sanford.
No, I'm not that's not my fraternity.
Parker
is
quick.
I get entertainment from driving past it every year.
Oh, do you get your car washed?
I do not. No, I can't, like, watch a bunch of freshman guys get on top of my car.
I can see that. I can see it. So it was, I'm not going to ask any
more
questions.
Dirty.
I know.
That's what I thought.
This is ridiculous.
That was my thought process. Like, is this really working?
No, but it seems to me that it would, like, leave a mark. I mean, you know, if you do that, but
yeah, especially if like there's like a hairy chest, like I just wouldn't want that like on my car.
You have to go to an actual car wash after that.
Good Lord, man! All right, so this is shocking. But Penn State, of all places, I mean, I guess maybe you got to do drugs if you want to go to Penn State. I mean, it's a tough school.
I wouldn't think that'd be one of the qualifications to get into Penn State. But
I know it. It's crazy though. Wow, so I didn't realize, Hazen, because a lot of these Christian schools now have, like, the fraternities and everything. Those used to be no-nos. But now, just about everybody's got the frat houses.
Yeah, a lot of them are kind of introducing it. Now, most Christian schools might not have the official Greek fraternities. Like, I know friends at Harding or Lipscomb where it's not officially Greek-affiliated, but luckily at Stanford it is. So you get the history of it.
All right, well, this is good to know. I am curious, ladies and gentlemen, if any of you have ever like done the hazing. You know, I think back to the what was it, Porky's, which was like the big movie of the 1970s, and that was kind of like that was really, I think, everybody's introduction into the modern era of chaos on campus. But there you go. All right, so Parker, y'all are on the up and up is what you're saying at Stanford. The frat houses, yes, are good. They're good, decent, church-going young men.
It's nice because, like, not every fraternity has a house there, so you don't really have, like, you're not going to be hazing on campus.
So are you on a house? Do you have, like, a frat house?
We do not. There's only three that do at Stanford out of eight. So,
okay. Yeah,
every sorority does, just from that standpoint, but then three of the eight fraternities do.
I'm fascinated by this story. So, anyway, all right, Parker May. Thank you, Parker. So he's telling us that their fraternity is on the up and up.
Up and up and hazing free.
I love it. All right. Got to take a break here, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Parker, stick around. We want to get the inside scoop in the break. We'll be right back.
When a nation drifts, the church faces a choice: silence or courage. This weekend, Salem News Channel's America 250 film series presents Letter to the American Church. Based on Eric Metaxas' warning to believers, this film challenges Christians to recover conviction, truth, and moral courage. Saturday and Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Salem News Channel.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Our good buddy Joe from Ella J. Joe, what's on your mind today?
Todd, your book, The Golden Age, I believe is the best. I'm on my third reading, and I think this great book, every conservative in America needs to buy it, because I believe if people read your great book, I think it will lead us to midterm Republican landslides. It's the best book for selling capitalism and free enterprise against communism and socialism that I've ever read. So I would recommend everybody listening to this great show to go to your bookstore today and buy the great book, The Golden Age, by the great Todd Stearns.
Joe, well, you're kind to say that. You know, I wrote it because I got tired of hearing conservatives complaining about Trump's not accomplishing his agenda, when in fact he's done a pretty darn good job of accomplishing his agenda.
He's the best, in my opinion, the best in history, and your book, everybody in America needs to go to their bookstore today and buy the great Todd Stearns book, The Golden Age.
Joe,
fire you up, and got me fired up.
Joe, you're a Georgia Tech guy, right?
Yes, sir.
Were you a fraternity guy, Joe? Did you?
Yes, I was a member of the Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity, and we didn't do what you were talking about in your first segment.
No, Joe, y'all had punch and cookies and went to church and
well, we had a little bit more side. We had some beer, you know, some other stuff, but we were not doing what you were talking about.
No.
In your first segment. No. I'd been kicked off the campus if I'd been part of that.
I hear you, Joe. All right, Joe, good hearing from you, my friend. Joe from LJ, big rambling wreck from Georgia Tech and a heck of an engineer. We'll be right back, everybody.
For nearly 3,000 years, Homer's The Iliad has shaped the Western imagination. As one of the foundational works of Western literature, it explores permanent questions about honor, courage, leadership, friendship, justice, and what it means to live a noble life.
In one of the epic's defining moments, Achilles returns to battle after the death of his beloved friend, Patroclus, setting aside his wounded pride to confront the responsibilities that come with greatness. His decision reveals one of the central themes of the Iliad, that true greatness requires more than strength. It demands character, sacrifice, and the pursuit of what is right. That's why Hillsdale College has released its newest free online course, The Iliad. Taught by Professor Stephen Smith, the course reveals why Homer's masterpiece remains one of the greatest works of Western literature. Hillsdale.edu/start now. Read the classics. Study the West. Hillsdale.edu/start now.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So happy to have you with us today. Write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling into the program today, 901-260-5926. Of course, a big debate tonight in the great state of South Carolina. You've got Darlene Graham and Ralph Norman going toe-to-toe. Want to bring into the conversation our good buddy, former state representative Adam Morgan, great conservative leader, also president of Majesty Music. Adam, good to have you with us today. Hello, Adam.
Oh, can you hear me now?
All right, there you go. Good to have you with
Todd,
us.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me on.
Adam, let's just jump right into this. Who are you backing tonight?
Well, I'm all in for Ralph Norman. I was on his ticket as his lieutenant governor pick when he ran for governor several months ago, and I know him personally. I've worked with him. He helped us on every major fight when I served in the legislature as chair of the Freedom Caucus. He was there backing us up, and you know, he actually leads on fights. You know, every Republican says the same things come election time. They all make the same promises. Ralph has actually led the fight. Did you know he was the original sponsor of the Save America Act in Congress in 2020? So, I mean, he's got the record. And, Darlene seems like a nice lady. She's never served in office. She's never supported conservative candidates openly. She's never weighed in on really any major policy discussion whatsoever. So I'm going to go with the proven tried and true conservative.
You know, that's what puzzles me about her. And honestly, her behavior up on Capitol Hill, she's not answering questions from the media. It's like she has a hedge around her. And I don't get that.
Well, I feel like I do get that. I think, you know, you do that when you're worried about somebody slipping up. And if they can't answer questions to reporters and to the American public, specifically the South Carolinians who are going to vote you in and you're going to represent for 6 years, that's how long this term is, you better be able to answer questions. And you shouldn't have a Senate seat just given to you. You know, they joke around here, we don't have birthright senatorship in this country, and we don't want it in South Carolina. You know, we want you to answer tough questions, tell us what you're going to do to be our representative. Have open debates. So honestly, I will give her this. She's coming to the debate tonight. There was a lot of, you know, people wondering what was going to happen with that. But we'll get to see them go head to head and make their best pitches to South Carolina. And hopefully the people will choose wisely.
Adam, what's the big issue that you guys are concerned about there in South Carolina?
Well, there's so many issues. I think everyone's focus right now is on the Save America Act, because if we don't get our elections under control, we're going to lose this country. I mean, it may not be this week or next week, but it might be in the next few years. And, you know, my kids' futures are on the line. So a lot of people recognize that that bill, which Ralph was the original author and sponsor in 2020, and if you remember, he received a lot of criticism for sponsoring that because he was questioning election integrity. And even Republicans were saying, oh, that was extreme back then. Now everybody's on, you know, saying the same thing. But that bill passed the House and got stuck in the Senate. As many great bills do, they go to the Senate and die. And so we need someone who will go into the Senate and will actually force the issue, will take on even their own majority leader, Thune, to actually get some of these good policies passed. And that is really what this election is about. You know, are we going to risk it with sending, you know, Darlene Graham in there, who is untested, who doesn't, I'd also argue, doesn't know the ropes, doesn't know how the political system works. She's been around it. She's never been in it. And like I said, she's no conservative groups that I'm aware of in South Carolina have ever interacted with her. She's never supported on policy. She's never supported in elections. And so am I going to risk it with somebody who I have no clue where they're actually standing and what they're going to do? Or am I going to go with a guy who helped get it passed through the House? We can get the Save America passed. Another huge issue is this affordability issue. And that really goes back to spending. The reason inflation is going crazy, the reason we're having all these issues with housing and groceries and education, everything that is subsidized by the government, the prices increase. And the federal government is constantly expanding. And we have to have senators and congressmen who are willing to go into Washington and speak up and cut spending and actually offer budget cuts. And Ralph has done that in the House, and we need that in the Senate.
Are you guys, I'm just curious about the Republican. I mean, you guys are a red state. The reality is there's been a lot of Republican infighting in South Carolina. We've seen a lot of that happening in Tennessee now, where, you know, you had three people running for the governor in the Republican primary. Marsha Blackburn got 43% of the vote. So, again, you're looking at mandates, divided Republican parties. What do we need to do to get everybody on the same page here?
I think a bold conservative vision is what does that. I think we've seen the playbook in Florida. If you're looking at statewide politics, you know, DeSantis has done that, unified the elected officials, unified the party, and even swung so many independent voters over to the Republican side. You know, in his tenure, if you remember, he barely won election the first time. And now he's skating through with massive reelection numbers, and voter registrations are at all-time highs in Florida. That's because of bold conservative vision. And by the way, he leads on every conservative issue. President Trump offered the same thing. That's why he was able to win the popular vote in the last presidential cycle. And so if we have bold leadership instead of this compromising, unsure of themselves, always worried about the left calling them whatever name, you know, if they push immigration policy, they're racist, so they don't want to talk about that, or maybe they'll even do amnesty. Those kind of issues are really at the core of the problems in the Republican Party, and the way we fix it is by electing bold, strong conservatives who are proud and actually believe the things that they stick, the slogans that they stick on campaign materials. And you know, Ralph Norman has done that, and that's why so many of us are really rallying around him. And I think that's why you're seeing in the polls he's up, even though Darlene has massive institutional support. I mean, the entire D.C. infrastructure from both parties. There's liberal PACs that are coming in dumping $1 million. The former head of MoveOn.org is funding millions of dollars worth of attack ads against Norman. And why are they doing that in the Republican Party? Because they don't want DeSantis-style and Trump-style leadership.
Again, Adam Morgan joining us from the great state of South Carolina, and a former state lawmaker there, and a really a power broker in the conservative movement. You mentioned Florida, and it's just remarkable the tens of thousands of people that have registered to become Republicans as a result of Ron DeSantis' leadership. And you wonder, does DeSantis have a future as a possible presidential contender, looking beyond President Trump here?
I mean, I'm sure he's on the list. He should be on the list. The good thing is we have such a deep bench in the Republican Party. We have great options like Marco Rubio and obviously Vice President Vance and Ron DeSantis. I think it'll be fascinating to see who actually runs. But I sure hope that Ron DeSantis has a future in the Republican Party. And I think it's obvious that he will because, you know, being a governor of such a massive state, an important state, and being so successful, if we as Republican primary voters have any brains whatsoever, we'll make sure that man stays active and is in elected office, continuing to put wins up on the board, as I would say the same for J.D. Vance.
Yeah, look, and again, it's the challenge, I think, Adam, is that you've got the establishment wanting to retake their party back. They're done with Trump. Yeah. They're done with the MAGA movement. They're done with Freedom Caucus guys, and they want their party back. The question is, what does that look like, and do you think they've got the numbers to get their party back?
Well, they've got the money. That's the bad news. They do have the money. The good news is a lot of times we've been able to successfully win elections at the state level in South Carolina for our legislators in the Freedom Caucus by simply going right to the people. And I think people can see through a lot of this advertising. But I will say that requires quality candidates. You have to have good, competent people running for office that are conservatives. And you have to have cover from the supporters and the grassroots. So if you're, you know, listening to this kind of radio program and trying to stay informed, don't just be a bystander listening and you voting. You've got to get out and tell everybody you know in your sphere of influence, hey, get out and vote for the true conservative. So stay informed and engaged. That's how we keep the republic.
All right, good stuff. Adam, we're going to be watching that debate tonight. Ought to be a very interesting debate, and we appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, good stuff. Adam Morgan, everybody, our good buddy from there in South Carolina. What a crazy story that is. We're going to keep an eye on that. Of course, big primaries tonight. We're going to be covering those as well. Josh Jones is going to be joining us in the next hour with the very latest on what's happening with Election Day across America. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, well done you. Books are selling like hotcakes, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And now is a great opportunity for you to get yourself a copy. Go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever you buy your books, and you'll be able to pick up a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Now, we also want to hear from you. So if you've already started reading the book, give us a call, and we'd love to talk with you on air about some of the things that that I wrote about in The Golden Age. Of course, President Trump endorsing the book a few days ago, and we're so excited the president did that. All right, got to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hey, before your Q3 call, I've got the campaign brief ready. Built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Great. Did you include the differentiation angle the CMO asked for?
Already in there. Three angles no competitor's using right now. Just need your approval.
Approved. Thanks. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Also, you guys get the Newsmax magazine. They've got a great two-page spread on the new book, and this does me no good, but I want to share it with you anyway because, look, the economy is tough, and some of you may be looking, you know, you want to get a copy of the book. Well, Newsmax has a way of you getting the book free of charge. They have a great offer that involves a subscription to Newsmax magazine. If you'd like information, go to newsmax.com/golden age. You can claim a free copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America, with Newsmax's special offer. You're going to save $29.99 when you go online today. That's newsmax.com/golden age. newsmax.com/golden age. Now, we have nothing at all to do with that. So that's all Newsmax, and we appreciate them doing that and making that offer. But if you have any questions at all, just be sure to ask Newsmax, newsmax.com/golden age. All right, this story, and we've got the video up at toddstearns.com. What a crazy story this is. So Sophie Cunningham was the only WNBA player to honor the national anthem. Why am I not surprised by this? I mean, these people, it's a league of lowlifes. That's what the WNBA is, a league of lowlifes. So Sophie Cunningham, we got the video. You can go see it for yourself. She was the only one from her entire team who stood with her hand over her heart during the national anthem. They were playing the Atlanta Dream, and the Atlanta Dreams didn't even bother to show up. They weren't even on the court. I mean, they couldn't be bothered. I know, I don't know what they were doing in the locker room. I don't want to know. I'm just saying. By the way, the WNBA also catching fire over this girl, this woman rather, and her daughter. They were attending a WNBA game supporting Sophie Cunningham, and they were told to cover up their T-shirts. One had like an XXXY shirt, and the other had like a girls, you know, for the girls shirt or something like that. Anyway, listen to cut number five, please.
And we were made to cover up our XXXY shirts at this game.
Wait, are you serious?
Yes. They gave us T-shirts during overtime and told us we had to leave.
And this is for the girls.
Or cover our shirts. This just happened.
Where were you sitting?
Floor
4-3 row
C.
Yeah.
Third row of floor three.
And how much were your seats?
$1,000 each around.
Yeah. And we did nothing. Like, we were not. We were just sitting there. I didn't make signs. I wanted to make signs, but I didn't. I did nothing.
They made us put our shirts on.
I did notice during the game on the Jumbotron, they put up a woman wearing a shirt that said protect trans rights or something.
She was the one who told on us. Because she was made to zip up her jacket.
So she also had to zip up her jacket?
She shouldn't have to.
But they put her shirt on the Jumbotron.
I know.
It's almost like the message was made and they said, now zip it up to make it seem like they're consistent.
Yeah.
But they never were.
Yeah. No, never.
And why did you spend so much on tickets? Why was it important for you to be here
today? To support Sophie Cunningham and to support women and women's sports, because it's just common sense.
And what's the relation here?
That's my daughter.
And are you an athlete?
I used to be until I had a bunch of knee surgery.
What sport?
I did all sorts here. I did soccer. I did all of them.
Yes.
And did this issue ever come up? Like, did a biological man ever try to play against?
No.
We're from here, so it hasn't happened here.
A lot.
But I can't believe that just happened in shocking. Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, it's crazy. It seems as though, Dylan, the WNBA just goes out of its way to try and alienate its fan base and lose as much money as humanly possible.
Yeah, they're not really helping themselves at all here.
Right. I mean, the whole point of this is nobody was watching the games until the straight white chicks showed up, and they were like, oh, there's a little bit of, dare I say, sex appeal in the WNBA now.
Yeah. Ironically, I think them making a problem out of Sophie Cunningham is making people watch the WNBA more. They're not doing the right thing, but they are getting the right result for doing the wrong thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how long this goes on. I mean, if you're Sophie Cunningham or Caitlin Clark or any of those other, and there'll be somebody else coming along.
Sure.
If you're a straight person or a white person, you know, and you're not a lesbian, they're coming after you. And so the question is, all right, how much is it worth to endure that game after game after game? And that really is, I guess that's a personal question, I suppose.
I mean, it's not even the sport anymore. You're just boxing white chicks at that point. Yeah.
It's like MMA with an orange ball. I mean, it's...
That's essentially what you're getting now with the WNBA.
By the way, someone sent me, speaking of MMA, I guess there's like a redneck or hillbilly fighting league. Have you heard about this?
No.
In Eastern Tennessee. And the problem is you start the fight without any teeth. I think that's that's my initial takeaway.
Probably a lot of candidates there for that.
Yes.
It's a good spot to have it.
I need to send you the promo. I'm like, this cannot be real. And then I thought, oh, well, okay. It just might be. I don't know.
Do you know if they have like gloves or anything, or is this just fist to face?
I think they may have gloves, okay. But I'm not sure it really matters.
It doesn't matter.
No, they don't have teeth. And I don't think that was because
that's
of the boxing. Yeah, that's well, fair enough. You're just going to gum it. Okay. Knock yourself out, fellas. All right. Coming up a little bit later, we're going to be talking to Josh Jones. Also, Kristen Hawkins, president of Students for Life. Her son got kicked out of a coffee house for hosting a Students for Life gathering. So they had the kids got together to talk about saving unborn babies and, I don't know, drinking lattes or whatever the kids drink these days. And they got kicked out of the coffee house in, of all places, Idaho. So we're going to play some exclusive video and audio from that. And we're going to be talking to Kristen Hawkins coming up in just a little while. Also, don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, get your copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. It's available at your favorite bookstore. You can also get a copy on Amazon. And if you're in Dallas this weekend, drop by the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. I'll be signing copies of The Golden Age just for you. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
You know, I've been following this story out of the WNBA, and Enes Kanter has thrown his name, you know, into the hat. He really wants to try out for the WNBA and join as a team. Enes, of course, now most recently identifying as a woman. But there's another basketball player as well, an NBA star, who has now identified as a woman. And they're going to try out for the WNBA draft. And Enes is writing on X. He says that he's spoken to a number of former NBA players, G League players, and European players. And they've all said that if the WNBA does not change the rules, they're ready to join the movement and are considering coming out as women and putting their names in the 2027 WNBA draft. Now, right now, the WNBA, they held a summit the other day. They're very perplexed. These are mannish gals and lesbians, by and large. Aside from, you know, the good-looking ones, Sophie Cunningham and Caitlin Clark, among others. I'm not a big WNBA fan. Never have been. Never will be. It's sort of an, I don't know. Dylan, I don't want to be rude or even, I don't want to cast dispersions on athletic prowess, but it's kind of like a circus freak show.
I'll let you have that one. Yeah. No more comments from me.
I don't understand. I mean, it is what it is. It's kind of like lady softball. It's there.
It exists.
So and who knows? I may be wrong, and it may be one day in the next, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000 years, that lady softball will be generating crowds almost as big as pickleball tournaments. I don't know. I may be wrong, but I don't think I am here. So, and I looked, the WNBA, for what it was supposed to be, and I don't even know if it was ever really what it was supposed to be, because up until Caitlin Clark showed up, nobody knew about the WNBA. They're not making all that much money. But anyway, Enes says, hold up a second. There's a reason why men now want to identify as women. And again, the WNBA, they held the summit. They can't figure out what the W stands for. They had a big meeting, and they came away, and we don't know. It could stand for wow or wowza or I don't know. Woolly bear. They don't know what that W stands for. Weezer, maybe. I don't know. They need to call Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys. It's an honest-to-goodness mystery. Get the lady from Murder, She Wrote. Maybe she can figure it out. So anyway, he says, look, understand this. The NBA's G League, they pay players $45,000 a year. The WNBA, the top players earn $1.4 million a year. He said those men could be earning an extra $1.3 million a year just by identifying as women. Rules are rules. And right now the rule is if you identify as a woman, you can audition, you can try out for the WNBA. I'm thinking about getting a wig myself. Could you imagine?
I think you have to be good at basketball already.
I want to be a point guard.
Oh, you could be a center. You could be a strong. You could be a strong forward.
I'm just. I don't have much. I don't have much height. My vertical needs some work.
We have some family members, though, that could probably do a pretty good
job. Oh, that's true. Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, big Starnes.
Little Starnes.
Little Starnes.
Little Starnes and big Starnes.
And big Starnes. I mean, what's 6'1", 6'2"?
Yeah, that's already dunking height. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he could shave his legs and put on a wig. He could, yeah, I could see that happening.
Millions of dollars his way.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, I think this is the best way to address this absurdity, is just to embrace it and go for it. And the fact of the matter is, they're going to come to terms with the realization very soon, when the entire WNBA is made up of men, that this was all a joke. That's what it is. It's a great big joke. So I say, good for you, men of the NBA. I just saw a photograph of all these guys in wigs. They're not classically beautiful. They're just butt ugly. But they're prettier than some of the, well, never mind. I'm not going to go down that. I don't want to get into too much trouble. So anyway, well done, men of the NBA. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play this audio. This is from the founder of Buc-ee's. You know, they've just opened up a new store up in somewhere in Arkansas. Governor Sarah Sanders was there. She was chopping the brisket. People were standing in line to get the beaver nuggets. Anyway, the founder, here's what he had to say, Cut 11.
We have a lot of opportunities. We're growing. We're building in a lot of places. But when you find a conservative, business-friendly state with a phenomenal workforce, it makes a difference. And I'm starting to realize life's too short to try to build in places that people don't appreciate what you're bringing versus a place like this where people do appreciate what you're building. So that leadership, that concept, that idea of conservative, business-friendly, family-oriented concept works so much better if it trickles down from the very leadership, from the very top at the governor's office, at the congressman, at the senator, at the mayor, the representatives. And so what we found when we got here into Benton was a business-friendly town. They said, let's roll up our sleeves and let's go get a Buc-ee's bill.
Yeah, I love this story. Right now there are about 54 Buc-ee's, and they're all in the southern states except for one in Colorado. And he said, look, I'm not in it for the numbers. He says they're just having fun. They want to enjoy themselves. They want to provide great service. And they do. The bathrooms are sparkling. The food is great. The atmosphere. And they built an entire brand around this beaver. And it all started back in 1982 in a place called Lake Jackson, Texas. And this is it's a great story, but I love his... I love what he said there, because I hate to break it to you. You folks in New York State, you're not getting a Buc-ee's. You folks in California, ain't going to be no beaver nuggets for you. Nope. Hands off the beaver nuggets. Not going to happen. So the guy's name, by the way, is Arch Applin. He is a graduate of Texas A&M. And they wanted to create a space where customers felt like they were being taken care of. And he says they're quite serious about the business operation. They produce a product and they produce an experience for their customers. And I just think this is a brilliant, brilliant thing they're doing and making millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. You know, I'm excited, Dylan, because we're getting two, one on either side of Memphis, one in West Memphis, Arkansas, and the other somewhere west of the city.
I'm pretty stoked as well. I mean, Buc-ee's is one of my favorite places to be when I travel, and now I don't have to go that far.
And you can go in and, like, order the meats. You know, I mean, can go grocery shopping at a Buc-ee's.
And eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
The prices are great, too.
Yeah.
And he said the secret sauce here is customer service. And he said that's it. He says that he goes into the stores, and that's what he's looking at. He's looking at the faces of the customers. And if they're happy, well, you know what? He's going to be happy. So it's just a terrific story, and it's really a great American success story as well. So, by the way, the philanthropy is off the charts. They donate millions of dollars to charity over at Bucky's. So God bless you guys. Well done. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. Hey, toddstearns.com is our website. Go and check it out. All sorts of great content. You can go watch the video of Sophie Cunningham. Also, download our free app and get our free newsletter. By the way, this segment of the program is brought to you by our friends at Newsmax. Millions of Americans agree with President Trump, and they're switching to Newsmax, watching great shows with Greta, Carl Higbee, Rob Schmidt. If you're tired of big media, start watching Newsmax. It is free to start. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com for immediate access. Get all of President Trump's most important events live. You're going to be able to get some great docudramas as well. Mike Huckabee, Melania Trump, Clint Eastwood, and Charlie Kirk. Once you start Newsmax Plus, you're not going to stop. Try it for free. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com, then download the app. All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Oakwood, Georgia, Dennis listening to us, WDUN. Hi, Dennis, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, met you one time at Smokehouse Barbecue there in Oakwood, Georgia. I think you signed a book for me about biscuits, I believe. Anyway,
our daily biscuit devotions with a draw. Yes, I remember that. That was a great, great day.
You know, that place closed down. The lady sold her property. Someone else came in with another barbecue restaurant. Didn't make it. It didn't take them long to figure it out. Everyone couldn't figure out why this barbecue didn't meet the standards of the old barbecue place.
Well.
But anyway, getting on to my point, I have pondered for more than a year now. The United States has so much disruption. And, you know, I'm a very conservative type person. I've been to Israel four times, served on military bases over there, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I try to be conservative in thought and politics. But I ponder in today's world why we don't de-seed or kick out some of these states that are so rambunctious to destroy our country with their beliefs and their politics. We could go a long ways down the road if we got rid of a few of them. I won't mention any of them by name, but perhaps you have a decent argument about that. Would answer my question. I know this union was formed, but not everybody believes in the union anymore, Todd. I'll relax and let you have your spoke.
Well, Dennis, I want to make sure I'm going in the right direction here. So you're suggesting that maybe we should allow some of these more liberal states to secede from the union.
You're 100% correct.
Yeah, I don't actually.
I think we should even help them secede from the union.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. Who would you like to? Is there any particular state in general that just comes to mind?
You're going to draw it out of me, aren't you?
I am going to draw it out of you.
Now, I used to do a lot of business with upstate New York people.
Yes,
tremendous amount of business. I respect and love those people. Wouldn't give you a plug nickel for the metropolitan area down around New York. There's California. There's some good people out there. It's a beautiful state. They have a large production of agriculture. But the left coast out there, it's kind of weird. I was in Portland one time riding up down Interstate 5, and there was a sign on the side of the interstate that said, "Keep Portland Weird." My daughter spent a year out there about 6 years ago after she graduated from nursing school. Wouldn't want her to be out there now. She's not out there now. She came home
back to Georgia to live. But, you know, there's Minnesota misbehaving. You know, we got a lot of states that are just anti-America anymore with the majority of the people. And God bless those who don't see it that way, and they are welcome to move to conservative-minded states if they so choose.
I see how you thought this out, because I think that's a very, you know, that's very generous. So if you're living in, for example, California, you could move and we would welcome you into, you know, you could still stay in the United States, just not live in whatever California, you know, maybe Mexico reclaims California. I don't know. You know, it's interesting, Dennis, that you bring this up, because there are a lot of conversations being had. I know, for example, parts of Oregon want to secede from the state of Oregon because they're conservative and Oregon's liberal. We're watching this unfold right now in Illinois. I was reading a report just the other day, Dennis, that a group of people in Illinois are trying to secede. So they want to break off Chicago. That is, so that they don't want Chicago and Illinois anymore, because the rest of the state is very conservative. It's rural, and they feel like, you know, that Chicago consumes all of their tax money. So you've got people there in Illinois. It's an interesting idea, Dennis, and I'm sure folks may have a thought or two about that. I would say let's keep New York State. We could just jettison New York City and be done with that. So there you go. Dennis, thank you for the call. 901-260-5926. It's really not the first time that that those kinds of ideas have been thrown around. But I like the idea. Again, what exactly does New York City offer to the United States of America right now? It's about to become a communist city. Let's go to Salem, Oregon. KYKN, our great affiliate there. Frank is on the line, and Frank had a wonderful conversation with the lovely Miss Denise. She had me on the show yesterday.
Yes.
All right. What's on your mind, Frank?
Well, you know, with all this garbage with the WNBA,
yes,
you know, and they can't determine what a woman is, so these men are coming out and saying, yeah, I'm a woman, so give me $100,000 a game or whatever, you know. Pay me the money. And, you know, we even had, of course, a Supreme Court justice couldn't define what a woman is. And no Democrat can. So, and the Democrats are always saying, believe in the science. You know, that's what we are. So we'll drop the W and put XXNBA.
Oh, that's very clever. So, like, XXNBA as opposed to an XYNBA.
Right.
Oh, and I like that.
Bringing that up, then we should have the men's NBA should be the XY.
Frank, I think you may be onto something here, dribbling balls by chromosomes. I love that. Frank, well done you. What are we shaking our heads at here?
I don't think that's what he meant.
No. Oh, that's not what he meant. Oh, my bad. It's the drugs. I'm still on the drugs. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us. Want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend. He is the chief political strategist for our radio network, Josh Jones. Josh, hope you're doing good today. I don't think we've got Josh. We got Josh?
Hey, Todd, how are you?
All right, there we go. Josh, doing good. So look, we've been talking. I'm just really intrigued by this story out of Penn State. 14 fraternity brothers at Penn State have been arrested in an alleged cocaine trafficking ring. And Josh, apparently they used the pledges to cut the cocaine and package the cocaine as part of their hazing ritual. Now, Josh, you went to Liberty University. Did you guys have the fraternities there at Liberty?
No, we didn't have really any of the fraternities or like the Greek life or that sort of thing. So I can't speak to it firsthand, but I mean, it sounds like pretty crazy stuff out of Penn State.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain Liberty students are much more well behaved. Is it true that you guys had like curfews and everything?
Yeah, we have this thing, it's called the Liberty Way. It's like the student like contract with the university, basically, that you have to sign before you start. Which has like a curfew and other things in it. And it gets like a really tough rep of like, oh, Liberty's so strict. I mean, it's definitely stricter than obviously Penn State or some other schools. But yeah, we technically had a curfew. Did they really enforce it? I guess it depended on who your RA was, but.
Oh, so if you had, so what, like you guys had to be in like at what, 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night? Or
I think it was, if I remember correctly, I think you had to be back at your dorm by 11 p.m. on school nights. And on the weekend, I think it was midnight.
Oh, wow.
If I remember correctly.
Dylan, how would you have fared at Liberty University?
Pretty well. I was not a rambunctious kid. But I mean, knowing that I had to be in bed at a certain time would have probably made me want to not be in bed at a certain time.
It would make you rebellious.
I would probably rebel if I had to have rules there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, very good. Well, I'm glad to know this. I did not recall seeing fraternities when I was there at Liberty. I know the school, the Christian school I went to, we did have fraternities, and they were pretty wild back in the day. I'll just leave there. They were pretty wild back in the day. So there you go. Josh, we're following a couple of big stories tonight. Of course, we have primaries across the country, Florida, all eyes on Florida. What do we need to be looking out for there?
Yeah, I mean, the big race, obviously, tonight in Florida is the governor's primary. I think you're going to see it in the numbers. Byron Donalds is going to win the nomination down there and go on to become governor after DeSantis leaves office. He has Trump's endorsement. A lot of the Republicans in Florida are supporting him. So I think that's a pretty sure up race for him. I think a big story tonight that maybe the mainstream media and folks aren't going to necessarily be talking about as much as some of these individual races is the fact that this is the first election since Florida redistricted. So this will be the first time that we have any primaries in some of these new districts that exist. So you're potentially going to have, four more Republicans from Florida, in the next Congress. And I'd be interested to see kind of, what the turnout is in these new districts and kind of be an indication of how competitive these seats could or, may not be this November.
And on the Democrat side, there are a couple of progressives that are challenging Democrats. I would say, I guess, liberal Democrats. So that'll be interesting to watch those races play out as well.
Definitely, yeah. You'll see in Florida and, the more primaries we have over the next little bit leading up to November, you're still having the civil war going on within the Democratic Party between the Democratic Socialist, which is the AOC, Bernie Sanders, crazy wing of the party, and then your more traditional Democrats, liberal Democrats at that, but more traditional Democrats who are, fighting on for survival, frankly. So we'll see how this fight plays out in Florida. Florida, you have a much more heavy Latino population that's less, obviously, a fan of socialism after, all these folks in Florida came from Cuba or, these other communist dictatorships, Venezuela and Latin America, who I think are a little bit, more apprehensive to the idea of electing a so-called socialist.
So the weirdest campaign race of all, I think, is out of Alaska, where they've got a primary. And what's really bizarre is you've got two guys with the same name running for the Senate. So Senator Dan Sullivan is going up against another guy named Dan Sullivan. And they try to get the second Dan Sullivan kicked off the ballot. And the judge is like, nope, he's legit. You got to have him on the ballot.
Yeah, I think that's what should be the real Dan Sullivan, the one that's currently a senator, should be just fine. It is a crazy phenomenon that happens in politics sometimes. There's a couple of races I've worked on in the past where they had the same last name. Luckily, it was a different first name, so you could brand them a little bit differently. But yeah, I mean, that'd be an interesting one in Florida, and just to see how many people may accidentally check his box instead.
You've got his name is Dan J. Sullivan compared to Dan Sullivan. This guy's the retired teacher from Petersburg, a little island community. He said he was just really frustrated with the incumbent and decided to run. So the sitting U.S. Senator in Alaska is Dan S. Sullivan, And then the guy with no party affiliation is Dan J. Sullivan. So good luck trying to figure that out.
Yeah, it'd be a fun one to see.
You know, I'm curious, and we've got Josh Jones with us, our chief political strategist. Josh, you've been covering races. What's the mood of the country right now? I know the president came out a few days ago and said Americans just need to be okay with paying $4 for gasoline. Looks like the war is going to continue to linger on. What's the mood of the country out there?
Yeah, I think a lot of voters feel disaffected at the, you know, put it mildly, with the current state of things across the country right now, whether it's the war in the Middle East or, you know, the cost of living, affordability, et cetera, the list goes on and on. I think a lot of voters are feeling a little disappointed of, you know, how things are currently on the political environment. Look, we still have a couple months. We're, you know, under 100 days, so it's closing in. We still got a couple months to the election. The mood of the country, you know, could shift. It might not. Who knows? We have, you know, a political eternity, so to speak, until the election. But I think, you know, working in these races across the country, you know, whether you're in Virginia, Texas, or New Mexico, is affordability. That's what people are really caring about right now. And I think, look, the president, you know, he may be right from a strategic angle. He gets more briefings and, you know, has much more knowledge than the rest of us typically on what the state of affairs are in the country, but also in the world, you know, on how that relates to gas prices and, you know, how much everything else costs. But I don't know if the message voters want to hear right now is essentially suck it up. It is what it is.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Josh, there's another survey out there that shows a majority of Democrats are embracing the socialist movement. Are you seeing that, and what do you think's causing all of that?
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are right. The Democratic Party has just ran so far to the left that a lot of these voters are now okay with voting for a socialist. And, you know, typically the first one we had that was a real one was AOC back in 2016, 2017, when she first got the office. And it's like, well, that's a one-off, you know, that doesn't really count. Or Bernie Sanders, you know, the crazy guy up from New England, he doesn't really count. He's just a one-off. But now you're seeing these people pop up all over the place. And historically, it's been, you know, very Democratic areas. But if you look at Michigan, the Democratic nominee there that just won their race for U.S. Senate, Abdul Al-Sayed, he won't call himself a socialist, but he is. Or if you look at Colorado and like some of these other states. So regardless of, you know, if these people only are, you know, let's say 20 of them in Congress or 30 of them in Congress after the election in November or whatever the number may be, they're going to drag the Democratic drag the Democratic Party to the left, whether they like it or not, the establishment Democrats. So look, I think if you're a moderate voter, moderate Democrat even, you have to take that into real consideration when you head into the ballot box this November. But yeah, I mean, we'll see how this plays out.
All right. Good stuff. By the way, Josh, you know, a lot of guys looking to make a quick buck or two, going to try out for the WNBA. How are your basketball skills?
I don't think they're tryout worthy. I don't think I'll make it to the tryouts.
I just figured I'd throw it out there. You know, always looking for ways to get a few more bucks in your pocket. So
I mean, you never know. I mean, maybe in another life.
There you go. All right, Josh, good seeing you, my friend, and always great having you on the show.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, we've got to take a quick break here, ladies and gentlemen. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. I'm just curious, how are you guys feeling? You know, we're a couple of months out from the election. How are you feeling? What is your mood? You know, we hear from the pollsters all the time, but how are you feeling about the midterms and the chances for the Republicans to really make history and maintain control of Congress? 901-260-5926. That's our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starn Show. All right. By the way, be sure, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go by your local Barnes & Noble and pick up a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And you thank them for all the work they're doing with us. They're partnering with us, doing our book signings. They'll be handling the book sales and signing at First Baptist Church in Dallas this weekend. And we just greatly appreciate Barnes & Noble working alongside conservative authors. We truly appreciate that. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's say hello to Murph in Germantown, Tennessee. KWAM, our great station there. Hi, Murph. What's going on, my friend?
Dr. Starnes, always a pleasure. Regarding your commentary about how do people feel, this old boy feels pretty good. And I thought it was very interesting on the over the wire today. This outfit called Memphis Update was interviewing one of the ladies that's running for governor, Miss Green. I think she's a local girl. And she's whining and complaining about grocery prices and gas prices and all kinds of prices. Well, yours truly has been in the labor force for 60-plus years and hadn't had a problem. Got laid off twice, but, you know, made it, recouped. But I can't figure out any way or shape or form, maybe you can tell me, where grocery prices and gas prices are in the Tennessee State Constitution, or the U.S. Constitution for that matter. And if we're really, really concerned about grocery prices and gas prices, then why don't we lower the state gas tax and the federal gas tax and put more money in more people's pockets?
You know, that is an interesting point, and Murph, I'll say this, the president does not directly have any influence on what Kroger charges for your, you know, baked beans, your can of Bush's baked beans. He does not directly control the price of gas, and you're right, when you look at a lot of the taxes that are loaded up at the state level, that's the responsibility of your state lawmakers, state legislature.
And one more thing, if you'll indulge, if some way, shape, or form with the media and so forth cease calling this a war in the Middle East. We are not at war. Congress has not declared war. This is an operation to prevent people that say death to America from loading up about 25 or 30 Muslim, whatever you want to call them, Islamic, whatever you want to call them, loaded up with dynamite and walking into a Kroger store or a mall and blowing themselves up. This is what we're up against, and people had better realize it. Death. What is hard to understand about death to America?
Well,
black and white.
No, it is. And I look, the White House has been calling it a war, and you're right, it's an operation, not a war. But the operation, there is no end in sight. And it just seems to me we should have been able to go in there and blow those people to smithereens and knock everything out in the first couple of weeks, or at least the first month of the operation. And now we're just, you know, I think we're going to starve them out. I think that's ultimately the goal now, is just to starve them out.
You know, Americans are very humane. We have no quarrel with the 85 million people that live there, or the regular everyday working citizen. I don't anyway, and you probably don't either. But it's the Islamic leadership that says 1 hour of jihad is worth 60 hours of prayer, death to the unbelievers, cut off their right hand and cut off their left foot, make them your slaves. They're commanded to do that, period. So have at it. Take care.
Murph, thanks for calling in. Thank you for that. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Tallahassee, Florida. Primary day in your state. Nate, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir, it is indeed, Todd. I voted for Byron Donalds for our governorship. Yeah. I think he's going to win in November.
Yeah, I think he's on his way to a landslide.
I called in to talk about the coffee shop incident, but I want to real quick, if I'm allowed, say what my general consensus for the midterms are.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, go right ahead.
I honestly feel like we're going to have a much easier path to keeping the Senate than we will the House of Representatives, to be honest with you.
Well, now, that's interesting.
Really competitive races. Sorry.
All right. Why is that? I'm curious to hear now.
Because if you look at the race in Michigan, Al Saeed I don't think he's as popular as the media wants to prop him up to be.
Yeah.
Like, I know some people in Michigan who lean Democrat, even they say they aren't a fan of his progressive policies. And around the country, I mean, look at Wisconsin. All the pollsters had that socialist woman. I forget her name, so please forgive me. I think it was Wong. Had her winning in a landslide, and instead she lost. So polls can be wrong, as we've been proven countless times. Heck, most of the polls had Hillary winning in 2016.
Fair enough. That's a fair enough assessment. Yes. And go ahead. Yeah. I think you may be onto something here.
Yes, sir. And as for that coffee shop incident where those pro-life women were thrown out of that coffee shop, when is the pro-life movement, and as well as other people who have been discriminated against on the right, finally going to wake up and just say, we're not going to take any more of that? Like, they need to just start suing these businesses, and that is something they don't do often enough.
Well, we're going to be talking. We're going to be talking to Kristen Hawkins coming up here in the next hour, Nate, and we will ask her that question directly. I think that's it's a fair question you raise.
Yes, sir. Because I've been personally discriminated against on the basis of my race here in Florida, and I won't mention any names, but I like to volunteer in my spare time to help people, and I had an organization blatantly discriminate against me because I was white, because I'm white.
Oh, geez. Really? All right. That's,
yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, that's just not right. It's not right, Nate. We got to stand up for this kind of stuff.
I tried to stand up for it, and they threatened to call the police on me for harassment because I wouldn't let it go. I kept fighting against it.
Well, that is just unacceptable. And, Nate, you gotta give us a holler back, and we'd like to get some info on that and find out what was going on there. But, Nate, I've got to run here, my friend. We're coming up on the top of the hour news, so thank you for listening. Folks, again, our number, 901-260-5926. How do you feel? How are things looking? How do you think things are looking for the midterm elections? We like to hear from you, and that's how we gauge. We don't believe in the polls. The polls are all over the place. But you guys, no, you're the real deal. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. The Todd Starn Show. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, these Muslims, they really do not like us. And by us, I mean Americans. This is insane. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Hour three of the big show. Todd Starnes here. Great to have you with us. Big Michigan Senate race. You got Mike Rogers, a Republican. A lot of Democrats voting for this guy because they're afraid to vote for Abdul El-Sayed. He is the communist Democrat nominee. And a staffer for El-Sayed just compared an ad that Mike Rogers published. Compared it to the KKK. You say, holy cow, what was in the ad? Well, you had Mike Rogers riding around in an old time, sort of like a Lance Walker, who the Walker Auctions. He's one of the top auctioneers in America, and he lives right here in Memphis, Tennessee. He's a good friend, and Lance and Terry Walker, and they're in leadership in the auctioneers. People all over America know this guy. As a matter of fact, they do some stuff with Gary Sinise, so they're really involved in a lot of the volunteer work for the military. And so anyway, Lance Walker's got, I think he's got like an old-timey pickup truck like this. This one is cherry red, and there's an American flag in the bed of the pickup truck. I mean, it's pretty much what you would see in any Republican campaign ad if you're running for office. So anyway, the guy, the staffer for Abdul El-Sayed said, gotta love this American ride. That's the part of it that ties into the show is that the ad showed Rogers rolling down the road in the passenger seat, Toby Keith's American Ride. They could have been listening to our radio show. That's our intro music. And Toby Keith singing, "Gotta love this American ride." And that's what Rogers captioned it on X. So anyway, the El Sayed Stamper says, "Mike Rogers' campaign has the aesthetics of a 1960s white flight suburb and a KKK cross burning." Wow. That's what they, yeah, that's what they think of all you folks out there. "Mike Rogers' campaign has the aesthetics of a 1960s white flight suburb and a KKK cross burning." Now, that's pretty sad, pretty pathetic. But that's what they think about folks like you and me. They do. You know, you think a lot about the white flight, and we've seen a lot of that in the Memphis area over the years. My grandparents, my dad was raised in a beautiful suburb, upper middle class suburb of Memphis called Whitehaven. And that's born, raised, went to school, high school, the whole nine yards. We spent many, many summers visiting with my grandparents in Whitehaven. Then my grandparents came home from church not once but twice and were that first of all, they found their cars were stolen. And then they came home and interrupted an invasion robbery as it was in progress. And they said, "That's it, we're moving." And they did. And so did a lot of other people because a bad element was moving into the area. And this is what bothers me when I see this BS, this white flight garbage, that white people ought to be ashamed because they want to be safe. They don't want their cars stolen from their garage. And I know this is going to set some things on fire today, but I'm still sort of hopped up on these meds, and I'm getting to be in a foul mood when I read crap like this. I just have a question. Because Whitehaven went from an overwhelming majority white neighborhood, a community. By the way, the first indoor mall was in Whitehaven. I mean, it's just very affluent. Graceland is in Whitehaven. So it went from all white to now it is a predominantly what all black community. And you don't want to be there in the daytime hours, much less the nighttime hours. Dangerous. Murders everywhere. Businesses boarded up. Homes left in disrepair. And my question is, what happened? What happened? Everything was fine, and then it wasn't. I'm just curious. What happened? You talk about white flight. Nobody wants to talk about why white people had to leave. Because they didn't want to get robbed. They didn't want to get shot. They don't want their businesses robbed. That's the reason why. It has nothing to do with race. But if you want to bring race into it, I got a question for you. Why is it now that what was once an upper middle class, very lovely neighborhood with manicured lawns, people were polite, you didn't have to worry about locking your doors at night. How did all of that change and why? Yeah, that's the reason why white people are leaving these communities, because they don't want their kids exposed to that. I'm just telling you. It's an ugly conversation, but one that ought to be had. We're not afraid to have those conversations on this program. But don't you dare blame white people for wanting to escape from the criminal element. That's insane. El Sayed, be careful what you vote for up there in Michigan. You folks be careful in Michigan what you vote for. Let's go to East Memphis. David, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, David. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, sir. Glad to see you're back on the mic.
Thank you.
I'm going to answer a question that is not what I originally called for, but if you remember right, Whitehaven gave up their charter and was annexed by the city of Memphis, and then there was a real estate company who made sure that they put all of the Democrats into that area. That's what happened to Whitehaven. But anyway, I called about, because isn't there a law, or wasn't there a law on the books that Obama took away that said
Muslims could not be elected to office in the U.S.?
Say that one more time.
What, was there not a law on the books way back when Obama was president, that he took away that said Muslims could not be elected to office in the U.S.?
There is a... So, yes and no. There is... I believe you're referring to the McCarran-Walter Act. Is that what you're referring to?
To be honest, I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, that I'll have to do a little bit of research. And the question is there, did Congress quietly repeal a law barring Muslims from serving in public office? There was no such law on the books in the first place. So I think there's, you know, on Facebook, there are a lot of these things that sort of circulate. There is a the McCarran-Walter Act. I'm having to do a little bit of quick research on the fly here. Known as the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1952, and that pretty much codifies the United States immigration policies. But it does not ban Muslims from holding office. No, that's just one of those old wives' tales on social media.
See, that's why I called you. I knew you would know, or could find out easier than I could.
Well, we do our best here, David. You know, the problem is, look, it drives me nuts because there's so much misinformation now on social media, and a lot of it is coming from conservatives. So I appreciate you calling in, and, you know, we'll do our best to fact check and, you know, provide folks with accurate intel.
Well, that's true, because the internet is 98% junk. Falsities anyway.
So. Yes, it's terrible. It doesn't and shouldn't be that way, but it is. Here's what bothers me about that, David. We could end up getting into a world war based on misinformation being spread on social media. Can you believe that?
I can. I really can.
Yeah.
I see what it does out in the public to other people who read something and they have no idea what they're talking about.
So. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that. David, thank you for the intel also on Whitehaven. Wow, very sad. Let's go to Steve in Houston, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, I love your show. You know, the reason I'm a conservative, because I'm 58 years old, and even in my lifetime, I've seen, you know, the system trying to destroy American culture. And, you know, our culture is self-governance. You know, we didn't have to have laws to tell us not to murder and not, you know, the people just didn't do that because it was wrong. And, you know, in my lifetime, I've seen we've got three times the laws and, you know, they're trying to destroy any kind of American family culture because that's what made America strong. And, what you know, all this illegal immigration, open borders, you know, the culture that they're creating is so that they can come in and offer us a solution, which eventually is going to end up with no freedoms at all. I mean, and we've all seen it. You know, anybody that's old enough to remember back when you didn't have to have vehicle insurance, you know, all the laws that have come across in my lifetime, you know, you create more chaos and then you got to have more government control. And I think that's been the plan all along. Do you agree?
I think, Steve, you may be onto something there, and it's a lot to unwind. You know, the left does want the chaos in the culture, and no doubt that we've got that. What I was doing some research on Whitehaven and a few of the other neighborhoods around Memphis, because we have had some of these communities have been decimated by crime. And I'll tell you, Whitehaven, I just want somebody to explain to me how my grandparents' former neighborhood of manicured lawns, and these were not super wealthy people. They were, you know, middle-class people. I want somebody to explain how all the white folks can move out and all of a sudden it becomes a slum. How does that happen? I just want somebody to explain it to me, because you know what? You can't, there's nothing stopping you from going out there and picking up the trash that's on the sidewalk or the roadway. There's nothing stopping you from mowing the grass and keeping a tidy front yard. That's all I'm trying to get at, Steve.
And you know what? The people promoting this, like the people that promote gun legislation, they're living in communities with gated communities.
Yes.
You know, the people that will call you a racist if you bring this up, which you're mostly going to be white people, but they're the ones that are living in communities that don't have to deal with this.
That's it. And so in Memphis, what happened was Whitehaven got annexed into the city of Memphis. The next beautiful area was a place called Hickory Hill, and they had a huge mall. It was the major shopping destination and district. That got annexed into the city, and it is a dystopian hellhole over there. I mean, the violence is off the charts. Everywhere the city of Memphis annexed, you had these very peaceful communities, and then they got sucked into the chaos that is Memphis. And I wonder if the same thing is happening in a place like Houston, a place like Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where you can't even go downtown in Winston-Salem because of all the teenage thugs and the violence out there.
Well, Houston got three times worse after the hurricane that destroyed in Louisiana.
In New Orleans.
Moved all the refugees from here,
yeah,
down here. And I mean, the crime rate skyrocketed, and it's still skyrocketing.
I'm going to tell you, Steve, Houston, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans, and I'm sorry, Memphis, we got hosed because that's where all the evacuees went, and the crime rates just shot right up.
Yes, sir.
All right, Steve.
I'm glad you brought it up. Not many people will even talk about
No. And again, if we don't talk about these issues, how are we going to fix it? That's what I want to know. You know, how are we going to fix it? All right, Steve, God bless you. Thank you for listening. We've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's get right to the phone lines. Back to Memphis, Tennessee. David listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hi, David. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Well, you know, my family, they grew up in Whitehaven. My grandfather, World War II generation, you know, he went to Whitehaven High School. As, you know, you always hear, he walked to school, you know, although they always say he walked to school, you know, he did all that. Anyhow, I grew up there too, but I'm almost 55, and when I was living, it was already starting to go downhill. And the thing about it is, it's the rest of my family grew up in South Memphis, an area that you wouldn't even walk down the street now. And as an example, I went down there one day to look at the house they lived in the 50s or the 60s, and it's neon green. It's crazy. And then, you know, but my point is, like, even it's all over the city now. It's all over the city now. Even where I bought a house 30 years ago, over at Sycamore View and Macon, there's tons of homeless people that walk the street now, something you only seen in Midtown and Memphis back in the day. And I would say there's maybe 75 houses in that neighborhood. Any of the good people have died off or moved out. I would say there's 50 of those houses are rentals now. Everything is rentals. And I hate to say it, when I was renting, I kept up my place and stuff. But nowadays, if they rent, pretty much most of them just don't care about their place.
David, I think that's a big part of it. One of the things that I loathe, and we actually had a company that wanted to come on, and you know, they go and buy up all these houses and then they turn them into rental properties. I would not let them advertise on the radio station because that destroys neighborhoods right there, David. Because if you don't have a homeowner, they have no reason to take care of their property. They have no reason to be proud of their local neighborhood. And you get what we've got in a lot of parts of Memphis.
Right, right. I'm glad you do that. One of them is First Key. They buy up every house you can think of.
It's disgusting to me. And these people are killing our communities. But again, a lot of this, you know, going back to the 1980s, that wasn't happening. You just had folks moving into communities. My question is, why would you not take care of your front yard? Why would you not take care of your property and your home? You know, you have the ability to do that. Why don't you do that?
Yeah, no, it doesn't make sense. I don't get it. You know, and simple stuff, taking the garbage can up, You know, there was one rental that was across the road that they, I had to go before I moved out and sold mine. I would have to go over there and pick up stuff on the street in front of their house because they wouldn't do it. And, you know, or like I looked over there, and there was dirty diapers in the yard.
Oh,
I mean, ridiculous.
Yeah. You're right. So, again, but now I think we're dealing with the bigger problem of these big corporations coming in and turning all these, you know, these homes into rental properties. And that is that's a story that's happening and impacting communities across the country. David, I hate to do this, but we're coming up on a break. But God bless you, my friend, and thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Kristen Hawkins, bunch of pro-life kids getting kicked out of a coffee house. What the heck is up with that? Well, we're going to find out, let you know all about it, coming up next.
Everybody is welcome, but I said I don't want this group meeting here.
Sir, we're just meeting for the first meeting.
I don't care. Go to the public library. This is
sure,
my place of business.
But I thought this was like, we come here all the time. We just already bought our food and stuff.
That's fine.
But you're kicking us out of your... We're just
did I make it very
meeting.
Clear that I did not want you here? Yeah, I did a lot of work to get people on the ballot so women would have the right to choose in the state of Idaho. And this is something I do not support, nor does my wife, and it's our business. So we have that choice.
So you're kicking us out. You're kicking out me and Bear, who's starting this group, and you're going to kick us out.
It's like, if the KKK asked to meet here, I would say no.
So you think pro-lifers are like the KKK? Is that what you're saying?
In my world, it's the same. It's the same sort of concept.
That is so beyond far. Pro-lifers, those who advocate for the dignity of every human life, even children in the womb,
I've made my point clear. I asked you guys not to
meet here. Oh,
my goodness.
This is just absurd, ladies and gentlemen. A group of young pro-lifers kicked out of an Idaho coffee house, or coffee shop, rather. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America. Kristen, good to have you with us today. This is just mind-blowing what happened inside that coffee house.
Yeah, Todd, thanks for having me. It's good to speak with you again. It's absolutely shocking. I mean, I go to this coffee house frequently. They have the best donuts in town. I take in my four children. My son, who's 16 years old, Bear, is helping me start this local pro-life group to stand up against this radical late-term abortion ballot referendum that's now going to be on the Idaho ballot this November. And, you know, we know he's liberal. He's got his gay flag out. He's got his everyone's welcome sign. He donated coffee to the No Kings protest in town. But this is a community meetup spot, and he always talks about how this is a community place. And we wanted this to be a very interfaith event. We have a very diverse community here. So I didn't want to have the pro-life meeting at a Catholic church for the first meeting until I knew how many people would feel comfortable going to a church. And so we just decided to meet here, and it was unbelievable. He came out of his office barreling towards us. The interaction actually was longer than that. He turned up the music so loud. Another patron tried to talk to him after the event happened, and he was even more belligerent. So it's sad to see in our little sleepy town in Teton Valley, Idaho, that this Idaho Roasters, which I would argue still has the best, you know, donuts in town, apparently doesn't think anyone who's pro-life or is a Christian is welcome in his establishment, which, by the way, is over the majority of the town.
All right. So, and again, the name of this place, the Idaho Roasters Coffee House. Kristen, yep. Did you guys pretty much take over the coffee house?
It's huge. No, we did not. We didn't have people come up. There were about 10 or 12 who came to our first pro-life meeting. So Bear and I were ecstatic. But no, we were a small part of this huge coffee house that was there. And so we were not being loud. I didn't bring my bullhorn, Todd. We were being respectful. We were not making a commotion at all. And it was 5 o'clock on a Monday. So it's not even like it was a high trafficked time where we were taking seats from other patrons. This is a place where a lot of folks go and work for 8 hours out of the day and they just hang out there. People meet, play board games. So this is known as a community hangout spot.
And that's what I'm trying to make clear here so we can set the scene. You guys were, I guess, what, ordering coffee? So it's not like you were freeloading, right? You guys were ordering food and beverage and whatever.
I have my receipt right here.
I'm sorry, did we lose Kristen? Okay, we've got it.
Well, I'm here.
All right.
Yeah, I'm saying I've got my receipt. We spent there was probably over $100 worth of business that was done just with between my family and the few other families that ordered drinks and food.
I find this incredibly troubling that this man would come over and kick you guys out. So tell us what happened. You said the interaction went on. What happened?
Sure. Well, I tried to get him to calm down. He was shaking during it. And I think, you know, sometimes when people kind of go off the handle like this and are willing to make a public scene, I tried to have some compassion because I realized there might be a past abortion decision at play here. And it just how irrational he was being. And so we were trying to calm him down to say, sir, this is our first meeting. We have no problem not coming back. We understand this is your private business and you don't want us. Let us just finish this meeting and then we'll be on our way. We could not do that. We had one of the members of our group went up to him afterwards as we were leaving and just said, you know, I'm genuinely curious. What does, you know, what everyone is welcome mean to you? And he was very clear. It does not mean white racists like us. And so it's unbelievable. I mean, this man is, you know, out there in the community. He has a whole property, Wydeho Property Management, manages Airbnb. So I've been getting calls from Airbnb owners all day in town saying, I had no idea this was going on. I think it's very shocking for our little town that, you know, we're pretty casual here. We know we have different faiths and views, but everyone pretty much gets along. We have to rely on each other in the mountain town sometimes when the weather gets crazy. So I think everyone's pretty shocked that other members of our community were treated in such a disrespectful way. And I mean, I had 4 children there. This was not a ruckus event. My daughter, who's 11 years old, was sitting there reading while this was happening. So it's disappointing to see this happen. And I think it just shows you the level of discourse in our country when it comes to abortion right now.
I think that's what really bothers me is, you know, the man was completely unhinged here in front of these kids. And they've done nothing wrong at all. But again, this is, I have to imagine this is really not new for you guys in the pro-life movement, this kind of vitriol.
Yeah, it was certainly new to all the folks who had gathered. This is the first time we've ever had a pro-life group in the Teton Valley, abortion-free. But I can tell you what, though, Todd, it's going to be the same experience that I've had with my Students for Life groups across the country. My students who have faced the most, you know, adversity, the name calling, the discrimination, they tend to be our best pro-life activists and voices long term. And so I told everyone gathered there, I'm sorry it happened to them, but this was a formidable event in their lives. And it's something they're never going to forget, that standing up just simply against the violence of abortion meant getting kicked out of a coffee house. And I think long term, it'll be good for my kids. I was checking on my kids last night. I have one who's very upset that he can't go back and get his donuts. And I had a couple others who were just, you had questions about why someone would scream at them like this. But I think it's good for my kids especially to understand that not everyone agrees that a baby in the womb deserves our protection and is worthy of fighting for them. And this is why we have to continue to speak out for them, because there are, I mean, the left is out to kill these children, and they are proud to say that they think that these children deserve the death penalty, which is just horrific.
Well, it is. And again, I have to imagine there are some other coffee houses and gathering places there in Idaho. What's the name of the town?
It's Driggs, Idaho.
Wow, Driggs, Idaho. I seems like a pretty bad business model to me, because a good many of those pro-lifers, I have to imagine, are Christians as well. And it looks like they're not welcome at that coffee shop either.
That's right. We have a very conservative town, very high LDS population, Latter-day Saint population here, that's very conservative, very faith-filled. And so I think it's just going to, hopefully it's a realization to him that if he really means welcome for all and he's going to put out his rainbow flag, that he really needs to be welcome for all and that there's just no place for this level of nastiness in these small communities. And we got to get back to a point, Todd, where we can disagree and still be polite and cordial to one another. And I think that's what's so shocking to our community right now, because I don't think our community felt like everything else they see on TikTok or X was here. And now they've realized it is here, even in our small town in Idaho. And that's why the ballot referendum, we've got to get Christians to vote against, you know, Prop 1 in Idaho on election day, because I think the fear that we have here in Idaho is we know the majority of Idahoans are pro-life, are against abortion, want to keep our abortion ban intact. But the problem is we've got to motivate folks to get out to vote, because I have to tell you, the Californians, the Washingtonians, the Coloradans have come into our state. They have destroyed their states, and now they're coming into our state, and they're voting for the same reckless policies that is the reason why they're leaving those states. And that's what they're trying to do here. They're trying to make our state like California. And that's exactly the opposite. And that's why Christians have got to vote no against Prop 1 this November.
All right. Kristen, we're going to have to leave it there. It's good to see you, my friend. And I'm so sorry this happened to you and your kids. But again, this is a lesson. And I'm sure these kids are just going to be emboldened by what happened there at the Idaho Roasters Coffee House. Kristen, good to see you. Thank you.
Thanks so much. God bless.
All right. Wow. Studentsforlife.org is the website, studentsforlife.org. Be sure to check out the great work of our good friend Kristen Hawkins. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. Your reaction to what happened to the youngsters there. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So today there is a big demonstration planned this evening in Dearborn, Michigan. This is going to be pretty insane. It's an anti-Islam demonstration in one of the most Islamic communities in the nation. The governor is weighing in, and she's calling the Christians who are going to be protesting agitators. She says their plan emboldens and contributes to a dangerous behavior, and I'm asking every person of goodwill to denounce it. Their hate has no place in Michigan. So the governor, everybody's very concerned that there might possibly be violence in Dearborn. Why is that? I thought this was the so-called religion of peace, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, this is the mayor of Dearborn, Michigan. Here's... This is a cut number 12, please.
That is the mission in which they will fail at. I was just 11 years of age when I had the first gun pulled on me for being Muslim in the days after 9/11.
I don't believe that.
It's been 25 years since that day. Still unchanged. Proudly believe that the name Abdullah Hussein Hamoud is as American as any other.
Dylan, did you go to school with any guys named Abdullah Hussein Hamoud?
Not in high school, Todd.
Yeah.
In college, for sure.
You were the only white.
I think I was a minority in my college.
You were in a minority in your college.
You went to my graduation.
I did.
You saw that I was a minority in my college.
Abdullah Hussein Hamoud. Abdullah Hussein Mahmoud. Abdullah Hussein Abdubli. Yabba dabba doo. I mean, they were going right down the list. And then Dylan Dandridge. And you're like, oh. It's an American name.
Yeah, you're not too far off.
So anyway, this guy, Mayor Yabba Dabba Doo, he's really upset at all of you Christians out there, and he really doesn't believe that your belief system belongs in Dearborn, Michigan. As a matter of fact, they were renaming a street in honor of a Hezbollah supporter. So a guy who is literally funding terrorists. And the Muslims there in Dearborn actually were going to name a street after him. So one of the remaining Christian people in Dearborn actually went to City Hall and was raising this as an issue. And here's what the mayor had to say. Cut 13.
I mean, Hezbollah, bombed the embassy in Beirut, and including many Americans. So I just feel it's quite inappropriate.
You are an Islamophobe. And although you live here, I want you to know as mayor, you are not welcome here. And the day you move out of the city will be the day that I launch a parade celebrating the fact that you moved out of the city, because you are not somebody who believes in coexistence.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not the way that went. As a matter of fact, the mayor was on a podcast, and he was talking about the point of America. And here's what he had to say. Cut 14.
Because what you often hear that's accompanied with that is, well, you must assimilate. I shouldn't put out a magazine that's in two languages. Why can't you speak English? Why are my videos subtitled in Arabic? Why is my caption both in English and Arabic? People get frustrated by this. But to me, it's like I actually disavow the use of the term the melting pot. I actually don't like it. Why? Because in a melting pot, when you're talking about like a soup, everything looks the same.
Right.
We're the salad bowl. The lettuce is lettuce. The tomato is tomato. The cucumber is cucumber. And they all complement each other.
What? What is it? No. The whole point of America is to assimilate. That's the point here. But the mayor, Mayor Yabba Dabba Doo here in Dearborn, Michigan, has inadvertently spilled the beans on what this is really all about. First of all, many of these people have not come here legally, right? They were refugees. They overstayed and they're here and they're having children out the wazoo. And the population growth is off the charts. So the Islamists, unless we're going to do mass deportations, are here to stay. Their numbers are only going to get bigger. And eventually, and it's going to take a little bit of time, but not too much time. And soon they will be the dominant religion in America. And the reason why is that the Christians are just not reproducing. You guys aren't having babies. Meanwhile, you got Mayor Yabba Dabba Doo over here, and they're popping out babies all over the place. So it's really a matter of numbers, honestly. And you're going to have more communities that become balkanized, like Dearborn. I saw this firsthand when I lived in New York City, where you would have entire neighborhoods and nobody spoke English. I did a lot of walking when I was in New York City back in the day. You'd be in neighborhoods. You're the only white person, and you're the only person there speaking English. And that's just the way it is. And that's the way it is now in New York City and a lot of other major American cities. I suspect you folks in Houston and Winston-Salem are going to be dealing with this very soon, if not already. This is going to be interesting tonight. You've got the guy, the provocateur, and a lot of people like this guy. His name is Jake? Is it Jake Lang? I think is his name. And he goes out there and he likes to stir up a stink, and he'll walk through a Muslim neighborhood with, I don't know, a roasted pig, a whole roasted pig. And he's got a right to do that, by the way. He's got a right to do it. You may not agree with it, but he's got a right to do it. And they're trying to shut him down there in Dearborn, Michigan. So we'll see how all that plays out tonight. But they're afraid it's going to get really, really ugly. And the reality, though, is we got a problem on our hands. What do we do with the rise of Islam in America? I talk about that briefly in the Golden Age. That was not the thrust of this book. The thrust of the Golden Age was to celebrate the great accomplishments that President Trump has made, but also to issue a warning as we start to look to the future here post-Trump. What does and what role does Islam play in the future of America? Again, this was imported. Some would call it an invasion. Well, I would call it an invasion. I certainly would. So I'd encourage you to get a copy of The Golden Age. Read it. You can get a copy Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books, and brush up on this, because this is going to be something we're going to be talking about in the days to come. All right, it has been a great day. A reminder, ToddStearns.com, we had the video of Sophie Cunningham. I'd encourage you to go over and check out that crazy video. Also, while you are there, download our free podcast as well as our free app, and you'll be able to listen to conservative talk radio wherever you are across America. Been a great day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for being a part of the Todd Stern Show audience. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.